Hello and welcome to ReachMahjong.com's podcast. I was going to say like the fifth annual. I don't know why I was going to say the fifth annual. Just felt like something that was going to be said. But yeah, it's nowhere near the fifth annual. It's like the 28th weekly, perhaps, to choose a number at random. With you is your random host, Garth Nelson. And
this is Jen.
Let's see. We always like to start off with something random, so what is up?
We have producer Troy
Troy. God, what a jerk-off I am. Sorry. Sorry. Sometimes I forget about our special, not even guests, special other people.
Regulars.
Actually, I have a hard time remembering anybody but me, but...
Yeah, that's why I have to say my own name.
every week I'm worried I might get it wrong. Random news that I find really amazing is what is up with the stock market. Have you been following the stock market?
Absolutely not.
Dude, the stock market is out of control. I mean, besides the fact that last week it was out of control, and then it went really out of control when some Nimrod punched in an order for a billion things instead of a million things, whatever he was buying or selling there. I can't remember what it was. And then that made the Dow fall an entire, like, 700 points.
Wow.
And I guess some, let's see, I think Procter & Gamble, which had been trading at, like, $30 or $40, actually had some trades registering in the cents.
Oh, my God.
Like, wow. Dude, how can the whole system just fall apart that crazily?
It sounds like my Mahjong scoring. Pretty sure I've made some... of those zero errors.
Oh, yes. You said you had some trouble scoring yesterday, was it?
A little bit.
what were your issues with scoring?
I forgot the green dragon can be counted as a hand point.
Oh, yes. That's usually a tough one to forget.
Well, I had all triples.
Oh, I
and
see.
I had pawned the green dragon. And I was like, okay, it's 50 foo, so 800, 1600. And they're like, isn't it 1326? And I was like, no, it's 50 foo. And they're like, oh, it is 50 foo. Okay, so they started giving me 1600 and 3200. And I was like, what? I said 8, 8, 8, 16. And they're like, you have the green dragon, miss. Oh, yes. You're right. I do have the green dragon. Okay, so how about 1600, 3200? And that's what they gave me.
Well done. Yes, I like, Getting the score right for the foo that you have chosen, when actually you, not only do you not have that foo, like I did in League Sunday, but I didn't even have that number of animals, like you said. I forgot the south. I had totally neglected the fact that we were in the south round, so that I could count south as a hand point myself.
We've learned so much in the last 4 years.
Yes, we have come so not very far, haven't we? How nearly...
But I did have the foo right. The guy across from me thought it was 40 foo at first. I had the foo right. I had 22, so it became 50 foo.
Ah, very nice. Very nice.
Base points.
Oh, yes. Oh, another one I did yesterday was I had the foo right, and then I missed a hand point. So then I changed and got the hand points right, but then changed my foo to get the foo points wrong, and everybody just ignored me and paid the right thing. Nobody said a word. It just passed across the right chips, and then I looked at him and I was like, "What?" And then, without quite realizing at the moment how I was wrong, I said, "Oh yes, right, okay." And I put them all in my thing, and then I figured it out afterwards.
Way to go!
Yes, we are professionals.
Yes,
nobody could mistake us for amateurs. Woo!
I also made another mistake, but I blocked it from my memory.
It's good. That way you can make it again. We could be entertained by another mistake next time.
Yes, don't learn from your mistakes. Just block them out.
So they can keep on entertaining everybody. Okay, let's see. Do they have any Mahjong news out in the world of Mahjong? The United States Professional Mahjong League, USPML. Will be having their Reach event, their Open Play Reach event, for this month on May 16th. That may be after a lot of you are listening to this, depending on how quickly we get it up. But if you miss that event, then the very next week they have the Learn to Play Reach event on the 23rd. Those events are both in New York City. Great chances for American players around New York to get to play a little Reach Mahjong, because of course it is the best Mahjong. That's
yes.
If you have a chance to play it, you of course should. And also, something I was reading online, a little news about Mahjong Logic. They seem to have had a little problem with one of their classic rules tournaments. And kudos to these guys, just because lately I, you know, dealing with people in this country who have problems, and they're just like, oh, yeah, so we had a problem. Screw off. These guys are going to add $100 to the next prize pool for the classic rules tournament that went wrong last week. And so then I was thinking, classic rules, what exactly is that all about? And then I'm thinking, gosh, you know, my problem here is I don't have any money on Mahjong Logic yet. So I was wondering if you could tell us a little bit about the games that are available on Mahjong Logic.
Sure. Today I was playing from 7:30 a.m. to 9:30 a.m. Japan time.
Uh-huh.
And so, I started playing Reach, the East only round.
Okay.
Vortex was on there, and a couple other people were on there. It seems like, though... not the EMA Reach, but the classic rules are quite popular on there right now.
Uh-huh.
And the classic rules, you don't need a hand point to go out.
I see.
And the way that the payouts are set up on Mahjong Club is that your payments are only affected by which place you get in the game. So they don't calculate the score. I mean, the scores are in there just so you know which place you get, but they don't calculate the payout according to the scores.
So your score actually has no effect on the amount of money you get except for placing you with respect to the other players.
Right, right. So if you're playing the classic rules, then you just want to basically... I was playing a single hand.
Uh-huh.
So you just play one hand and it's over. So you get paid out after each hand. And I was actually playing heads up. I was playing one-on-one.
Wow.
Yeah, so it was really fast. But it's really good. I wouldn't like the classic rules for like a competition-based game, but it was really good for tempi practice.
Uh-huh.
For getting to ready, the fastest way to ready, because that's all you got to do. You just got to get ready.
Uh-huh.
So I thought it was really good, like, kind of training-wise.
Huh, interesting.
Definitely, yeah.
When you play heads up against somebody, are you playing are there two computer players also, or
no,
so it's just it's just like a lot of the older style Mahjong games that were in the arcades.
Yeah. It's really just a two-player tempi race, ready race.
Huh, interesting.
So I thought it was really good for kind of training. And also if you're worried about, collusion or something, then it's good to have that one-on-one option.
That does take away the collusion option.
Yeah, yeah. So,
possibility.
So actually I had a good time playing on that. And the games get up fast because you only have to wait for one player, so... I think I'd like it if they made, like, a one-on-one reach option as well.
That is interesting.
Because it would be... It's just good for, you know, good practice, I think. And then, yeah, it's for a little bit of money, kind of fun.
Uh-huh. So you said they have the EMA reach rules.
Right.
They have classic rules. Is that an EMA classic rules, or is that...
Nope, it's just called classic rules.
Classic rules.
Yeah.
And that's basically, like, the reach rules, except that you don't need a hand point?
Well, you can't reach... Either.
Oh, you can't reach. Okay.
No. So I think it's supposed to be like Chinese classic. But
oh, okay. Is there a Dora?
No.
Oh, there's no Dora.
I kept looking for it though. Wait, what's a Dora again? Oh yeah, there's no Dora.
They keep not flipping it over every single hand.
Well, it's really funny because when I was playing yesterday, I didn't even bother to look for the Dora almost ever, in league even.
At work?
Yeah. And then all of a sudden there's no Dora, and I just
and you,
like,
you keep looking
search
for
and
it,
search
huh?
and search.
That is wild and crazy.
Yeah, and they also have the MCR rules, which are the EMA MCR rules, which are the Chinese official rules.
So the European MCR rules are exactly the same as the Chinese official rules? It's just what they call them there?
Yeah. Okay. They, as far as I know, that's where they got them from, and it was the World Mahjong Organization based out of China that started helping them set up those tournaments and everything. They set up that rule set came before the RCR, which are the reach competition rules.
Okay.
Yeah.
So then, something I find interesting, this isn't specific to Mahjong Logic, but do you know why where did they get their reach competition rules? Because it seems strange to me that everybody else in the world that I know of allows an open simples hand,
Whereas, no, the EMA does not.
Right, except for the right. EMA.
Well, we... excuse me. I went to the OEMC, Open European Mahjong Championship, in Denmark in 2007.
Right.
That's where I met Martin Repp, Tina Christensen, Morten Andersen, you know, everybody that's big in the EMA.
Uh-huh.
And they were talking about making a Reach tournament the next year, which we ended up going to in Hanover. So when they started those discussions, they took on, they took on myself and Benjamin and Ryan Morse as consultants.
Mm-hmm.
And it was mostly Ben and I that, you know, put our two cents in for all the rules. And we actually really campaigned for an open simples hand, but the Europeans didn't want to do it. So it's just like kind of the population majority choice. So.
Alrighty then.
I think the idea is that they think it's just with all the Dora and everything, it makes it too easy to get a big hand, or I'm not sure what the... It was something like that. It's just too easy was kind of the thought process behind that.
It's interesting. I wonder why... So then I guess I wonder why in Japan the open simples hand is so... I mean, why it's allowed. Especially in competition rules like, you know, Kyogi rules. Why wouldn't they want to take that option away too, I wonder.
I'm not sure. You know, I've never actually played outside of Europe without the open simples being
really
allowed.
One time I got invited to a game by one of my old English students, and they said, "Okay, yeah, none of this arty arty crap. We're gonna play no open simples hand and no after attaching no backdoor wins, meaning that you have to have your all of your yaku already decided, or at least you had to have your one at least one yaku already decided before you could have gotten."
Yeah, but also usually when they use that rule, when they don't allow the backdoor wins, if you could go either way, even if you had a different yaku, a lot of times they won't let you count the yaku that you accidentally get for winning on that.
Oh, really? Well,
yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah.
A lot so of even times if you have another one in your hand, so that you're not totally, so that you could still win.
Yeah.
Another one that is not decided? Wow, that
a
is really crazy.
A lot of
really
time.
Crazy.
I mean, I think they have it both ways, but obviously I've never played it, but I've read a lot about it and heard a lot about it.
Huh.
Yeah, it's really the older generation. It's just a really old rule. I mean, there's lots of old rules like that just kind of, you know, went obsolete.
Yeah, so. That is strange. Yeah, I have to say, despite the fact that it is allowed, I almost never do it, and I scoff at everybody who does, but then I do it sometimes, so.
Well, another old rule like that is you used to not be allowed to reach on Furiten. If you had a missed win, you weren't allowed to reach. And actually, when I played in New York, they had that rule.
Really?
Yeah, once you were Furiten, you couldn't reach.
Wow.
It was a foul if you were caught in the end.
Really? Oh, at the Mahjong Parlor in New York?
Yep.
Wow.
The free Mahjong Parlor,
that
the casino style.
Wild venue. And crazy.
Yeah, and you could sumo. You could draw your winner and win, but you couldn't reach before that.
What total absolute... Did they allow open reaches?
Yes.
So that's supposed to be what you do in that situation, is you open reach there so that everybody knows that you're free 10 anyway.
Yeah. Well, I think that was... maybe that was why, so people wouldn't use it with their open reach.
Huh. But that's... That seems like that's supposed to be the whole point of it all.
Yeah.
Is being able to reach, but not... make everybody have to get off their hand because they're like, oh, I don't want to throw this guy's winner. But then you open up your weight and say, see, look, I'm free 10, so even if you throw my winner, you can't lose.
I know.
Huh. Yeah, so these are all slightly small variations to the rule sets that we're...
They're all kind of old-fashioned.
Right.
Yeah.
Okay, well, yes, that's a little bit of what you can do on Mahjong Club. Once again, if you'd like to play on Mahjong Club, we have a link to Mahjong Club on reachmahjong.com. Please go through there to get to your new account on Mahjong.
And they're having qualifier for the Reach event. They're having qualifiers for the main event as well, but also for the Reach event. And there's not a lot of people in there, so you really want to get in there and win your entry to the Reach event.
Great opportunity, right?
Yeah, and I'm on there so in the rest of the world it'd be Wednesday nights.
Uh-huh.
It's Thursday mornings in Japan, And Gemma is on there on Sunday afternoons, I believe, in European time.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, get on and play with us. Whoever wins the most from us in the next certain amount of time period wins $200 in cash.
Wow.
Yeah, so get on and play with us. I'll play Reach. I mean, we're playing other times as well.
Uh-huh.
But we're definitely on those two times. And then sometimes I get on and play tournaments and... maybe I'll play in some of the Reach qualifiers. I gotta get my entry somehow figured out. I'm worried about everyone else's entries right now running all the tournaments, and I don't know how I'm gonna play in it.
No kidding. I am right behind you. So yeah, a lot of cool opportunities on Mahjong Club. Have to get some money on there. Okay, and let's see. What else happened did anything else happen in the world of Mahjong? Oh, yes. League.
You guys got your snacks and your...
Yeah.
Your blankies and your...
I'm just all excited because, man, it's just amazing to see what goes on in League every month. So first of all, at the top of A1, Maihara held on to his comfortable lead in A1. He only got a +2 last week, but Furukawa, who got a +75... is still only at +63, which is second place. So Maihara still has twice as much as the next guy behind him. Sawazaki also had a +11. He was in second last month, but and that moves him up to +45, but that dropped him down to fourth place. I wanted to watch Maihara's table, and at Maihara was also Furukawa and Ishinabe, is how you say his name? I think it's Ishinabe is his name, and Ara, who had kind of a rough start last month, got another -16 this month, but it was actually enough to still a small enough minus to move him up to 10th. His table with Maihara was the one that I wanted to watch, but as you can imagine, that is a very popular table to watch. So I went around and watched Sawazaki and Ito's table, and man, did I get lucky there. So I was watching Sawazaki, and it was the second game, and it was Mikita's turn as dealer. Is that how you say his name? Do you know?
Yeah.
Okay. he had just won his first hand as dealer in the South round, and it was kind of a heart stopper because he had declared reach, and then the guy across from him declared a chasing reach, and so then you're thinking, oh gosh, how's this going to work out? And then Mikita drew his winner, and he just had piece in his hand, so he had reach, self concealed draw, and piece, so 1,300 points each. Not a big deal, but you know, kind of like, oh wow, it would have sucked if you know you had thrown to the other guy's winner.
Right.
So, and I was just thinking before that Sawazaki had seemed, and lately I'm on this nagare luck thing, like how are people's flow? And until that point, I thought that Sawazaki was sort of in the luck spot. And also, Ito had the most points on the table, so I was thinking, well, and so then his luck should be pretty good right now, too, I think, right? But then this guy won that hand, and so you think, all right, well, I guess he probably is kind of lucky. And he starts off the next hand by throwing middle tiles, blam, 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 middle tiles, and everyone. I was wondering what was going on there, but then I was watching Sawazaki's hand, which had threes of dots, and then two white dragons, two nines of dots, and two sevens of characters. And it was kind of thinking. I was thinking, oh wow, Sawazaki has a great start for concealed triples, and then blam, on the fifth draw, Mikita says reach with the six of bamboos. Oh, that's trouble. Mm-hmm. And then the next thing that Sawazaki drew after he had drawn the four of dots was no, he didn't have three of the three of dots because he had three of the three of characters because the four of dots was. Was Dora, and when he drew, he had started with the one and two of dots, but he didn't want those because it was so close to Dora. He went for the triples, he had the three of characters in the triples, and the seven of characters, and then the nine of dots pair. he threw away the 1 and 2 of dots, and the next thing he drew was the 4 of dots, and then the next thing he drew after that was the 3 of dots. So it's like, oh, okay, I have to give up this hand because he's already sort of free to end, and this guy has reached. Next thing I know, 3 draws later, I didn't see Ito's hand, so I don't know if he didn't have anything else safe to throw. But he threw the 9 of bamboos, which, you know, in a lot of situations, that's going to be okay when the dealer has thrown the 6 of bamboos, the piano keys, you think that's probably safe. And right as he's opening his hand, he's already saying 48,000 points. And I'm thinking, whoa! And sure enough, there it was, 13 orphans.
Wow.
And...
For a second, I made that zero mistake when you said 48,000. I was like, oh, 4,800. So we had, like, reach Chitoi. Reach 7 pairs. Like, 48,000.
No, yes.
Don't forget
thousand,
that extra zero in there.
1,000. 3 zeros on the end of that 48. and because it was his turn as dealer, right? And, man, I mean, it was such a bad stroke of luck for Ito. And then it also really took me back to my performance at Masters. It was the same exact, practically the same exact play that happened to me.
Right. You know, that's one thing that actually a lot of pros do, that before I started talking to pros about games, I would think, oh, you know, 13 orphans, you would never reach there, because why would you?
Uh-huh.
You have a Yaku, obviously you have a hand point, and, you know, you don't want to call too much attention to yourself, but
right. People
don't expect 13 orphans with the reach, because everybody's like, oh, you would never reach on that. And
right.
I've sat at the table with Rumi,
uh-huh.
Nikaido Rumi, or Rumi Nikaido, when she has reached with that hand in a casino game,
uh-huh.
like a free game, yeah. And it's not an uncommon move. Watch out for that.
I could certainly imagine reaching if you had the 13 tile weight, because eventually it's going to come out.
Also, if you're in, like, a parlor playing, uh-huh. it makes a little bit more sense to reach, because you get extra bonus points if you have, like, Uradora,
yes.
The hidden Dora. So
drawn on your first win, of course.
Right. So you get all those bonuses even if you have a limit hand, so it makes a little bit more sense there than it does in A rules. But.
Right. And that wasn't even really the end of Ito's bad luck streak. The next game, so he lost that game big, of course, and he had won the first game too. The third game, then he comes back and right off he gets himself back up to 40,000 points, so he's plus 10,000 points, and then he gets to a hand where he was holding Dora, but the hand that made him ready, he would have had to throw Dora to be ready. So he held on to Dora for another. So he threw away his ready hand, and he held on to Dora for one more round, and he drew another Dora, which actually meant he could use the Dora. And it actually meant he had a pretty good weight, because he had the 5, 5, 5, 6, 7 of cracks, of characters. So his weight was the Dora, the east tile, and and 5 and 8 of cracks. And he reached, and then and Sawazaki had been sort of clearly going for a half or maybe full flush in the bamboos. So I think that was one reason that he didn't want to let the Dora go. And the dealer also looked like he was probably aiming for a flush in the dots. But the dealer's hand wasn't so suspicious. I kind of stopped paying attention when I saw Ito getting so close to ready. And then Ito draws the 7 of dots, and blam, the dealer opens up his hand. It's an entirely concealed flush, full flush.
Wow.
18,000 points. He was in a nice lead, and then blam, he gets dropped right back down to 4th place.
Ouch.
Again, and minus points. And you're just all, oh, God, Ito. And you have to think, man, it's good for us to be able to see really good players have bad days.
Was he discarding honors in his first discard, the very first one? Did you notice that?
The guy who had the full
Ito,
flush?
Ito.
You know, I didn't notice, I forget if I'm watching that from him. It's interesting that you said that. I think I mentioned this to you before. When I was watching Sawazaki, that really tripped me out about him. We'd go to the study session, or at least I've been going, you've started recently again, but with Maehara, especially Maehara, was really chapping me for throwing out letter tiles early in the hand, like all the time. He said that my letter tile discarding was rough. And so then I'm watching Sawazaki, and he can't get rid of those things fast enough. He's just throwing them out, blam, blam, blam. And it really surprised me. I'm not sure. And, you know, a lot of those guys in A1 and A2, they know each other really well.
Right.
And it's possible that Sawazaki was playing that way because of the people he was playing against that day.
Right.
But mm-hmm. When I watched him that day, I was genuinely shocked to see him just all-out attack nonstop until somebody reached, and then super screeching of the brakes and like all about face on the total absolute defense. It was really interesting, but to see him just like throwing all caution to the wind until somebody reaches, and then he's no longer going for it.
Well, one thing about Ito is this was on the Ronron blog actually. Uh-huh. He used to go to the Junkyudo.
Like
he was,
I remember
from
that
there,
him,
yeah, originally, and uh-huh. and they're not allowed to throw out any honor tile on the first discard. I think maybe unless they're ready or
right.
something. And I don't, yeah.
You can't throw Dora until you're ready either.
Right, but no, you can't. You can throw honors if you're not ready, but you
right.
cannot throw it on the first discard.
Right.
Like pretty much ever, and you know that's the group that Benjamin has written about before.
I've right.
been to. And. Then, I think it was like a year ago, maybe,
uh-huh.
or something. It was on the the Ronron blog that somebody saw Ito discard a honor tile, the first discard, and he made the statement. He's like, from now on, I will if it's the right discard, I will discard an honor tile, the first discard.
Really?
It was that recent, yeah.
Wow, so he'd been holding true to the junkie tenets all that time.
Yeah.
Huh? Wow, and so then, you know... kudos to Ito, though. He got a big minus 37, but that's still smaller than the number of points that he lost just on that one hand, 48,000
yeah.
points on one hand. So it means he did pretty well the rest of the day. And, you know, minus 37 puts him at minus 40 overall for the first two sessions, but that still leaves him in ninth place. He's still still in A1 as of the current standings. Okay, moving into the other leagues. I didn't have a chance to watch any of the other leagues, but and then there's a couple names I don't know here and there everywhere. For example, number one in A2 is Kaneko. Do you know Kaneko? There he is, number one. He jumped in front of Yamai, who had kind of a rough day, minus 38, which brought him down to plus 20. Yamai drops down to third place. Taki is
wow,
having...
Wow, third place is only plus 20. That's really...
Yeah, I mean, you look at some of these other leagues, the first and second places are way out in front,
yeah.
like in the hundreds already. And then first place for A2 is only 40 points.
Wow.
And second place, third place is 20 points. I forget, I didn't write down second place.
Oh, yeah, let's talk about Taki more.
Taki, yeah. He is having a rough time. He got a minus 27 to drop him down to minus 24, and given the fact that the range of scores there is so small, that's enough to put him in 13th place.
Wow.
which is dropping, actually. He is, you know, there's still 10 more sessions
eight
more sessions to go, but for the moment he is towards the bottom, and he, as the current standings are, he would be dropping down to B1.
I wonder if it would help him if I went and watched.
Inspiration is what he needs. Blonde inspiration. Speaking of B1...
I could watch Taki all day.
How about Sarukawa? How do you like watching Sarukawa?
Yeah, I like him too, but...
He is kicking ass. You got a plus 79 to go with his plus 89, I guess.
Oh, my God.
From the time before. He has 172, which puts him out farther even in front of the rest of the field than Maehara is in A1. Quite a bit behind him in second place is Nikaido Aki.
Oh, good.
She has decided to take back her spot in A2, perhaps. She is. She got a plus 44 to put her in plus 64. Speaking of the Nikaidos, couldn't find Rumi anywhere in the league list, so it seems like she must be studying for something.
Yes.
Again.
She took a year off before to study for something.
Yes.
Maybe it's that thing again.
She forgot that stuff. Has to do some review, I guess.
I have a job with Aki on Sunday.
Really?
In Yokohama, yeah.
In Yokohama.
Mm-hmm.
Very nice. I would suggest you get some pointers from her, because she seems to know what's going on.
Yeah, I think she might be the best female player in the world.
She's like, she certainly looks pretty strong at the moment. She did quite well last week, and it puts her in second place in B1. Farther down the list in B1, we have at number 12, the border, minus 34 is Uchikawa, and that puts him at minus 39, and much farther down from him is Sasaki. Sasaki is having a really rough time in B1. He only got minus...
Hisato.
Hisato, yes.
No, I'm sorry. Every time you say Sasaki to somebody in our league, they always answer with Hisato.
Hisato, yeah. Exactly, yes.
Sasaki is such a common name, but we don't have a lot of Sasakis in the league.
For some reason, he is Hisato. He is the one guy in our league who gets referred to by his first name.
It's like Ichiro in America, the baseball player.
Exactly,
he is called Ichiro. He's not called...
He's the Ichiro of Japanese
mahjong.
What
is his last name?
Ichiro Suzuki.
Suzuki, yeah. Yes. Nobody calls him Suzuki. He is Ichiro. He is Hisato.
He got plus 4, which is not nearly enough to make much of a dent in his minus 71 of the week before. So he is in 15th place in B1 and has a little bit of work ahead of him to hold on to his B1 status. Let's see. Moving down to the next league where we actually have a lot of names that we like to follow is C1. Another person at the top that I don't really know, Sugi Ura. Do you know Sugi Ura?
If you don't know him, just skip it.
Okay. He's in first. At number 3, a player that I do like to watch, she is also another strong female player in the league. Nakata got another plus 42 to put her at plus 100 for the first two sessions, so that puts her in third place in C1. Our buddy Kono only got plus 9, but that still leaves him in fifth place with 88 points. Kono looks like he's trying to retake his B-leaguer status. And that in fifth place is good enough to get back into B2. Amy, what is her last name? Hojo?
Hojo, yes.
Hojo, yes. she is in eighth place, 28 with a plus 28 last week. Kurosawa Saki is a little bit farther down. She is just below positive in 17th place. Farther below her is Kozue, who did get a plus 19 to move back up to minus 36, and that moves her out of the dropping out range. And one of our other buddies, Kamimura, he's had a couple tough days. So he got a minus 68, which puts him at minus 80.
That's Shin on our site.
Shin on our site, yes, our boss. and he is that puts him in 31st place, which is definitely moving down
status. I like working a lot better when he's not around.
Why is that?
Because I can email more on my phone.
Yeah, this is emailing you're doing while you're playing?
No, when I'm waiting, but...
Oh, okay.
If I'm waiting, he likes it if I'm, like, standing and smiling. And if he's not there, I can, like, duck behind the counter and text away.
Wow. Very interesting.
Although, tell him.
Yes, I wouldn't tell him, and hopefully we'll have to. Well, the version that of this podcast that he gets, we'll have to edit that part out, huh?
I don't think he listens to this.
Okay, yes. So we got that going for us. Let's see. At the top of C3, Izumi is also kicking ass. She got plus 54 to move up to 136. Well ahead of the competition, which is the next person, Aizawa
Kaoru.
She got a plus 82 to go to 98.
We should go to our bar.
Yes.
When are we going to do that?
That sounds like something we could do.
Because, like, random A1 League pros sometimes show up there.
Really?
Yeah. I'm not supposed to tell anyone, but I saw one there.
Wow. That's interesting, because with that few number of people, it's hard to imagine anybody being random in a group of 12 people. But yes, that does sound exciting.
That's how good they are.
Yes. All right, and then getting to the league that really matters. The one that everybody really wants to pay attention to. D1. I got minus 7 points last week, which was a huge waste given what I could have had. In the second to last hand of the second game, it was my turn as dealer. I had just won 7,700 points, and I was starting to think, oh, wow, maybe I have a shot at first place. And then the guy to my left starts pawning. He pawned the north, because he's in the north seat. And then he pawned the two of cracks, I believe it was. And you know, I'm looking at his discards. I'm thinking the cracks look pretty bad. So when I get the white dragons, I hold onto them. I get another white dragon. Oh, maybe I can make something. Make use of this. And then when I get to nearly ready, I have 4, 4, 5 of cracks, and then the 2 white dragons. And I'm waiting for something else in the 3 and 4, 3 and 6 in dots. And the second to last draw before getting ready, he threw out on the second white dragon that he had thrown from his hand. So I'm thinking, huh. And then the guy across from me is throwing cracks like crazy. I'm thinking, wow, maybe I misread this guy's hand. Maybe he's not really ready, or maybe he's just not ready in cracks or what. So I pawned the white dragon and I threw the 5 of cracks. And sure enough, it was his winner for a half flush. He also had the south entirely concealed in his hand. So that was 8,000 points.
Wow.
What a really idiotic move. I was in good shape to take at least five plus points plus the 4 points for being second place and above 0. And I ended up moving myself down to last place and, you know, and losing that 8,000 points. So that was, it was basically a 20-point swing by throwing that 8,000 points.
Wow.
Really idiotic. So 7th place minus 7 puts me in 10th place, which is still, that's the border for moving up. If I was able to hold on to 10th place, I would move up to C3 next week, next season. But man, was that a waste. You had a minus 17.
Yep.
What happened there?
Oh, is that much? Dang, I was hoping it was 15.
Minus 17 puts you at minus 12 for the first 2 sessions. And
oh, 20, right, this
24th place. How was your league?
On the first hand, not the first hand, the first game. Oh yeah, the first hand.
Uh-huh.
I guess I was still sleeping. I don't know. The dealer reached, and I thought it would be a good idea to discard the Dora.
Oh.
Red, the green dragon again?
Again. Oh, because you had already discarded one.
No.
Oh.
I mean, I was talking about the green dragon earlier, how I forgot that it was a hand point. And this time, I forgot that it was the Dora, apparently.
Oops.
And so that was, like, was that 12,000? Oh, 77, I guess. 7,700. And that was really big. And then, so I ended up taking last place that game, and last place the final game. And I won one game, and I got second in one game. So I just got a small negative, and I'd say that, and there was one other place that I made a mistake, but mm-hmm. actually Kondo and my buddy in A2 were watching me from time to time, and uh-huh. and they actually had some good things to say about how I was playing, so, uh-huh. and then my buddy in A2 did have a suggestion for probably 2 of the hands I played, so, uh-huh. But the rest of it, they were pretty encouraging.
So your play was pretty solid, they said?
Yeah, except for so that Dora, obviously, and then there was another hand when I was ready, waiting for the Dora with uh-huh. 7 pairs, and the person across from me was very obviously going for half flush,
uh-huh.
and I discarded the 5 of BAMs, and she's going for half flush and BAMs.
Right.
And I think that was also 7,700 for her. So my buddy in A2 said that was pushing it a little bit.
Uh-huh.
So I probably should have just go ahead and given up that hand.
Yeah, you know, that is something that's that I've started to realize about those guys. Those players that are that make it into A1 and A2, they are really tight. And
yeah.
those situations where we say, "Come on, you know, this is a shobu hand. This is a take a stand hand. This is where I'm supposed to be playing to win, right?" No, they can fold those hands, and that is the mark of a really, really great player, is somebody who can fold a hand that's still that big.
Right.
And Maehara talks about this a lot, comparing Mahjong players to poker players. He likes to point out how, you know, like a lot of poker players, when they have 3 of a kind, they won't fold that hand because, that's a big hand. And, you know, even if there's a possibility of a straight out there, you know, nobody's going to be able to fold that hand. Well, he is taking a little bit far there when he says that nobody is going to be able to fold that hand. But it's true. The people that are going to be able to fold that hand are the really, really great poker players.
Yeah.
And that's what separates the really great players from the not-quite-so-great players, is being able to fold hands. Making hands is not actually that hard.
Right.
The hard part is giving up the hand that you just made.
Right.
And that's why those guys are at the top. Let's see. That about wraps it up for League. And that should probably about wrap it up for the talking, because once again I've talked a lot. Although we got word from somebody that they like lots of talking.
Yes. So well, can we just talk about some ReachMahjong.com news?
Yes, let's do that before we sign off. Yes.
Okay, so the new site is up. The new podcast player is up. If you're listening to this on the website, remember that you can subscribe on iTunes. Just click on the RSS feed and put that URL in your iTunes subscribe to podcast, or you can search for the Reach Mahjong Jongcast. There's two right now because the old feed is still up. Mm-hmm. The new feed is going up automatically, so go ahead and subscribe to the new one, because the old one will not get the new episodes anymore.
Oh, all right.
Also, the forums went offline last night. They're still up there, but anything that's posted now will not be moved to the new forum. We will have the new forum probably by the time this podcast is up. Brand new forum, brand new system.
Very nice.
Everyone who's signed up will get an email telling them how to reset their password.
All right, exciting. Yes, yep. I need to be getting on there, huh?
So brand new design, brand new everything. It's going to be much easier to use. It's going to look much better. It's going to match our current website, and everything's going to look awesome. It's going to look awesome, and it's going to be more friendly for us to join in the conversations. And once I have everything on the website done, I'll have more time to join in the conversations, because I am dying right now.
Yes. Need more help getting more help from some of us slackers getting everything done on the website.
Yeah, I'm on a stint right now. I started on Sunday. I don't have a day off until next Wednesday.
Wow.
Yeah. And I did work on Saturday too for like 4 hours. That was like my day off.
Ouch. All right, that about wraps it up then for ReachMahjong.com's podcast for this week. By the way, did you know that they have Pokemon poker chips? I did not know that, as I riffled chips and made too much noise on the podcast.
I thought it was a Pog.
No, it was a Pokemon.
Do you remember Pogs?
I do not remember that.
Really? I had all the Simpsons Pogs. Well, not all of them. I had almost all of them. I was trying to get all of them. I didn't succeed.
Speaking of goofy things like that, I'm going to have to give you my funny Sanjoker riff next time. Well, but we're out of time for today. So, this is Garth Nelson. If you want to get in touch with me, I am Garth, E-G-A-R-T-H-E, at ReachMahjong.com. And
I'm Jen, J-E-N-N, at ReachMahjong.com.
We love to hear from you, and thanks for tuning in this week.
And thank you, Producer Troy.
Yes.
See ya. 어제 리에첸의 입밭으로 미나미나 맞아 야리마쇼 메자스와 모찌론 야쿠마쇼 모니와 제타이 가게마쇼 번지 리에첸의 입밭으로 아가레바 기분와 모사이코 마쇼와 카나리 사비레타 잔소 마장 화이트 클라브 번지 럽 아 오니산 마타소레 론야와